Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFARL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFARL's Russian Service. Irina, many thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure, Steve.
All right. Well, I want to talk about two events or issues. One of them happened last week, and one got started last week and culminates this week. The latter, of course, is the nationwide vote on constitutional amendments, including one that would give President Vladimir Putin the option of running for re-election in 2024 and again in 2030. So potentially he could be president until 2036. The other is the guilty verdict and suspended sentence handed down to the acclaimed Russian director Kirill Serebrennikov on Friday, June 26th. But let's talk about the vote first. Voting started last Thursday, June 25th, and it ends July 1st, this Wednesday, so a full week of voting, which is quite unusual. Now, on the first couple of days, there were some strong indications that the Russian state is taking steps to encourage the kind of high turnout that the Kremlin presumably believes would bolster the perceived legitimacy of the vote and its result and the option handed to Putin, if the result is yes, of course, in favor of the amendments. Irina, one pretty simple question about this and one that's, I guess, less simple. The first, is there any chance of a no result, a rejection of the proposed constitutional amendments? And the second question, do you think it's clear at this point whether the vote will add to Putin's legitimacy in the eyes of Russians? In the long run, will it help him or hurt him somehow? And will it actually increase his chances of remaining in power longer if he chooses to do so?
Well, the first question is really, really simple. No, I don't think that there is any chance that there will be a no result, primarily because it's practically impossible to control what's going on. And taking into consideration the previous record of Kremlin of staging elections, for example, both on the federal and on municipal levels, right now, when there is no control, there is no mechanism to check what people really vote for, the results will be as Kremlin wants them. And one of the indicators right now is that, according to Russian officials, in two areas where there is this electronic vote taking place, and right, one of them is Moscow, the turnout is already 76%. So this is unbelievable activity for Moscovites in several days. So, you know, it's one can only wonder where those figures come from. Another statistics that we got in the last 2 days is today, actually, is that the overall turnout, both in not in electronic but in physical, right, voting to the stations is 28%, which is also very strange. If you take into account the scenes that we see in Russia with those, you know, tables in kindergartens, in the backyards, sometimes the trunk of the car that, right, they use for as a polling station, it's mostly empty. So people don't really, you know, go and stand in line to vote, except for there were several cases when the workers, after their shifts, were seen practically marching right. to the polling stations, and that means that they were forced to vote practically. But this cannot account for 28%.
And I think actually, sorry to interrupt, I think the 28% is actually after 3 days of voting, which I guess would be after
right.
Saturday. So now they still have 4 days to, you know, get it up to a high percentage that they will be looking for in terms of turnout. Sorry to interrupt.
No, no, that's okay. But you're absolutely right. So the figures will be as they want them. And regarding your second question about legitimacy, mm-hmm. You know, the amendments to the Constitution that or the changes in the Constitution that they are making is not all about giving Putin the zero, as they call it, terms in power and allowing him to continue to run until and to rule the country until 2036. There are also some amendments that really resonate in Russian souls. Mm-hmm. And as bad as it is to say so, but what one of the amendments is about the family being a union between a man and a woman. And as homophobic as Russia is, this is something that Russians see as positive. The other amendment, for example, is the interpretation of history. Now it's going to be, it is already punishable to diminish Russian heroism and Soviet heroism during the Second World War, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, because there is a law already, but right now it's also in the Constitution, so the punishment will be more severe for the denial of Soviet glory in the past. So this also resonates. It's also about, you know, as much as propaganda there was regarding the glorious past of the Soviet Union, it also resonates in ordinary Russians,
right.
as a very positive thing. Another thing, and this is just an illustration of how propaganda works. For example, today I got a newsletter to my email, work email, that stated that the amendments to the Constitution will give Russians better healthcare system. Now, how is it connected? The logic is that they, since Kremlin is building the federal power, since Kremlin is making a stronger grip over the regions,
mm-hmm.
due to those amendments to the Constitution, the federal center will have a bigger role in ensuring that all the regions will have a proper healthcare system. Now, it doesn't make sense if the federal center didn't do anything in the last 20 years of Putin's rule, then how will it all of a sudden be more effective with the constitutional amendments? But this is how propaganda works. This is what people are being told, that, you know, you are not voting for Mr. Putin being in power for X more years. You are voting for better health care system.
Right.
So this is I don't think that this really will reflect on Putin himself,
mm-hmm.
Rather than people probably after voting, if they don't get a better health care system, they will be disappointed that they voted for.
Right. Well, so I guess it could put some pressure on him to deliver in the years after this vote, assuming that it's a yes vote. But, yeah, it's a good point about the way you know, these different issues are being used to kind of advertise, you know, in favor of a yes vote, you'll get better health care. And then there's concrete things about pension indexation, things that in some cases, as you mentioned, are already in the law, but will now be also in the Constitution. You know, many critics think that these are essentially ways to get people to vote and to vote yes, while the main goal of the vote, you know, they say is to give Putin the option of remaining as president, or if he chooses to do so. Okay, let's move on to Kirill Serebrennikov. Now, to me, this is linked. I think it was linked to the vote, but there may be other opinions on that. Now, Serebrennikov is an avant-garde film and theater director whose productions sometimes took aim or have taken aim at the authorities. He's been critical of the church and state relationship, and his prosecution, he's called his prosecution on embezzlement charges absurd, it's been seen among liberals, certainly, as a troubling sign for artistic freedoms in Russia, and that criticism is coming from abroad and from Russia itself. Now, I would say a guilty verdict was expected for several reasons, including the simple fact that acquittals are extremely rare in Russia. But I think the concerns, which were deepened by his conviction, would have been aggravated even more had he been handed what in Russia is referred to as a, quote, real prison term. In other words, had he actually been sentenced to go to prison for several years, as opposed to receiving a suspended sentence. Irina, again, two questions. Do you think that the vote on the constitutional amendments had anything to do with the outcome of Serebrennikov's trial? And what do you think the outcome says about the situation in Russia at the moment? What's your main takeaway?
Well, I don't think that it's directly linked to the vote I don't think that it's an attempt to, please the Russian intellectuals.
Okay.
So that they would go and vote, because as you said, real prison term was not given to Serebrennikov. I think it's also a sign that the authorities understood that they went a little bit too far with Serebrennikov, because it really affected not only the usual suspects of opposition to the authority, political figures in Russia, or cultural figures in Russia, but also a lot of apolitical people were horrified with the whole case against Serebrennikov. But it's it's very it's in trend with what is going on in Russia. Mm-hmm. I mean, the court, as you rightly pointed out, they just cannot say that, no, the person is not guilty. So what they did was they said they are guilty. They broke the law, but we will not put them in prison. And by the way, the state will get the money back. The most horrible thing there is that they, plus to the fines, that each of them, including Serebrennikov, got as a result of this court decision. They also collectively have to return the state 130 million rubles.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
And this is an enormous money.
Yes.
And until then, their whole property is under arrest, including their property abroad. Like Serebrennikov's, for example, apartment in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And the court actually took pleasure to announce everything that they have and everything that is under arrest right now. No, I don't think that it's connected to to the vote anyhow. I think it's connected with the whole system of with the whole judicial system of Russia at the moment, when people are named guilty by the court, but then they have suspended sentence. It's very common. It's just really common at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a tool that they've used in the past frequently. You know, one big example is Navalny in one of his cases where, or I guess both of them, he ended up getting suspended sentences. I believe in the first case, you know, he was sentenced to prison, and then they changed it and suspended the sentence. So the Kremlin, or I mean, if the courts are able to adjust the sentence to kind of, you know, as you say, sort of go with the trend, you know, catch the wind of what's going on. It's very rare that they actually acquit someone who's been accused, you know, publicly of something like this. So, in a way, a very interesting result, but one that's, you know, somewhat par for the course. All right, we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up for today. Irina, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, I'll be back next Monday for another Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thank you for listening.